So now, if I have a doubt and I think, well, that's dumb, I just take it and put it in my pocket and keep walking. And then sooner or later, God pulls it out and explains it to me. Oh, thanks, Lord. I got all kinds of doubts in my pocket. My wife did what? I put it in my pocket like this. Keep walking. Elwin did what? Put it in this one. And Elwin, what? Elwin. Elwin. That's Elwin. So now my pocket's like this on one side, but I keep walking. It's all right.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message on something we all experience from time to time. We're talking about doubts. But we learned that it is not our doubts that disqualify us. It is our unbelief. There's a big difference. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us how we can move from doubt to mountain-moving faith. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Dealing with Doubts.
I said, no. If God would do a miracle, would you allow him? He said, I doubt it. I said, no, God can heal this marriage. He said, I doubt it. I said, God can provide everything you need. He said, I doubt it. I tell you, I promise, God can work it out. He said, I doubt it. Everything I said, the answer was the same. I doubt it. So I threw in a trick question. I said, God can give you a brain. He said, I doubt it. Reminds me of this Portuguese student. I was on the mainland, and he had a hard time with math, and he was studying by the swimming pool and trying to figure out his math problems, and he sees his bottle bobbing around, so he pulls it out, uncorks it, boop, this genie comes out. And the genie says, I am here to give you one wish, was a Portuguese genie. And he said, if I only have one wish, because I'm tired flying back home from the mainland every time to see my parents, and cost plenty of money, so my wish is you build one road from the mainland to Hawaii so I can drive that bugger. I drive him home. And the genie said, do you know how far it is from the mainland to Hawaii? This is out of my scope of ability. Ask another wish. He said, okay. Well, if you cannot build one highway, at least give me more brain so I can graduate more soon than 4 years. The genie said, okay, how many lanes you want on that bridge? I doubt it. Remember, doubt is not what disqualifies you. Unbelief does. And let me tell you the difference. Doubt says, I'm having a hard time believing this. Unbelief says, I can't believe it. I will not believe it. Can't be done. Doubt is honesty. Unbelief is obstinacy. Doubt is searching for the light. Unbelief is being content to live in the darkness and rationalize it. You see the difference? It's not doubt that disqualifies you, it's unbelief. Unbelief is a position that you take up. And that's why I said, doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. I was flying back from a conference recently on the East Coast, and I was really tired. So I didn't want my neighbor to talk to me or carry on a conversation. So I buried my head in a book as soon as I got on the plane and buckled up, and I started reading. And kind of sending a signal, you know, I don't want to talk. And the guy next to me was reading a magazine, so I figured, okay, he got the message. And everything was fine until the flight attendant started to wheel her snack cart down the aisle when he turned to me and said, you want some pretzels or something? I said, oh, no, thanks. And then he continued the conversation. He said, where are you coming from? What were you doing? I turned to him and I said, I was at a pastor's conference where we talked about God. Because usually that shuts them up. But he kept drilling. He said, I used to go to church. I put my book down and I said, and you don't anymore? He said, nope. I said, tell me why. He said, because the people in that church. I said, really? Tell me about it. And he named three people One betrayed him, another broke his trust, another just offended him. And he said, if that's what Christianity's like, I was done with it. I said, oh. I said, I know people like that. He said, really? Yep. And you know what the Bible says about them? He said, what? He said, don't you dare trust them. He looked at me and said, I thought you were a pastor. I said, I am. And the Bible says, do not trust in man. Dozens of times in the Bible. And you know what your struggle is? That you put your trust in man rather than in God. And once you put it in man, they're mortal. And even if they have good intentions, they're going to fail your trust. You never put your trust in man. You put your trust in God alone. Now, you love people. And the Bible's word for that word love is agape, which means you unconditionally love people. And you expect the best out of them, but when they fail, you don't condemn them, nor are you offended or destroyed by them, because you don't put your full trust in them. You believe in them, but you make sure you trust only in God, and you agape people. And I said, what I did for years is the same mistake you did. I used to agape God and trust people. Because I thought that's what Christianity was supposed to be. Supposed to be able to trust people. But I said, men are mortal. Even my wife, or my wife, me to my wife, we quote, trust each other, but we'll break that trust. And if I trust her implicitly, I'm going to be rudely, and disastrously offended and displeased. I said, for example, if I said to my wife, you be here at 6:30. Now, let's say she's in traffic. She doesn't get there to 6:50. 7 o'clock usually happens. But let's say I say 6:30. She arrives at 6:45. I say, oh, that's it. I trusted you. I trusted you at 6:30. You broke my trust. Now, the Bible says, no. You don't trust in man because they're mortal. But you agape them, believing the best. Probably is traffic. Or I'm just glad you arrived. Or we can work with each other in the area of punctuality. But if you trust people, they're going to, even if they're well-meaning, because they're mortal, they're going to fail you sooner or later. There's only one person in the universe that will never destroy your trust. And his name is Jesus. So I said to this man, what you did wrong, like I did, was I trusted people and agape God when I should have trusted God and agape people. But if you mix it up, you'll be offended again and again and again. Why? Because people are bad? No, because we are mortal. And I said, maybe God put you here next to me so that I could remind you to switch that back around. Otherwise, people will mess up your faith. And there's some of you that may be here today that you have flipped that around. And maybe God has brought you to hear this message today as an encouragement to set your heart back aright. Otherwise, it could cause you to have a stubborn heart, a broken heart, a betrayed heart, hardened heart. And that becomes unbelief, because it's not doubt that disqualifies you. It's unbelief. Unbelief. And I want to encourage you to put your trust back in God. So when I have doubts that I can't shake, it helps to remind me, would you write down in number 2, to trust God and love people, not the other way around. Oh, there's dozens of scriptures that say don't trust in people, trust God. But let me just give you 2 of them. And the first is Psalm 146 and verse 3. Let's read it out loud. Go. Do not trust in princes or in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. Yeah, God is saying even if that person is a prince of a person, don't put your full trust in them because he or she is still mortal. Put your trust in God. And people will be dependable. They will be trustworthy. But you can't expect them to always sustain your trust, because they're going to fall. You make sure that you keep your trust in God. So when I'm struggling with doubts, I check that to make sure I'm trusting God. And one of the favorite scriptures in the Bible, favorite in the world, is here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it's probably yours as well. Read it with me. Go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Isn't that a great scripture? Trust in the Lord. You say, but Wayne, you struggle with doubts. Sometimes I struggle with it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, if that's how Christianity is, just like the guy in the airplane, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Ah, no. It's not doubts that disqualify you. It's unbelief. If you wallow in this long enough, it affects your heart and you become someone who says, I won't have anything to do with it. No, doubts seek answers. But if you don't seek answers, if it doesn't motivate you to deepen your faith, you're going to cut off the world and it brings you to a shallow unbelief. That's what will disqualify you. You've got to be able to work this out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so when you have doubts, don't let it stop you. Keep walking. Keep walking. Really? Yeah, that's right. Because faith is sometimes mixed with doubts. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's okay. It won't disqualify you. Work out those doubts. But if you say, you see somebody doing something dumb, let's say in church, and you say, man, if that's church, I'm done. And I don't go to church anymore. We've heard a lot of people do that. Isn't that right? If that's what Christianity is, forget it. That's what they say. Only to find 6 months later, the very thing they condemn that person for, they themselves do. And then they say 6 months later, oh, okay, sorry, I do that too. Okay, I'm going back to church. So you go back to church, but you lost 6 months. And then you see something else. If that's Christianity, I'm done with it. 2 years goes by. And then you say, okay, I'll go back to church. You lost 2 years. Instead, here's what I've done. When I start to get doubts, I realize the best thing for me to do is not stop until I figure it out, but I put it in my pocket and I keep walking. Would you write down in number 3 here? It reminds me to live forward in spite of my doubts. Keep walking with God. Because along the way, God will figure it out with you. And when you figure it out, oh, now I got it. You haven't lost 6 months. You haven't lost 2 years. You're 2.5 years ahead. So when the doubts come, remember, it's not doubts that disqualify you. It's what? Unbelief. So I can walk with doubts. But I've got to live forward. Keep going. So now, if I have a doubt and I think, well, that's dumb. I just take and put it in my pocket and keep walking. And then sooner or later, God pulls it out and explains it to me. Oh, thanks, Lord, but I haven't lost any advance. I got all kinds of doubts in my pocket. My wife did what? I put it in my pocket like this. Keep walking. Elwin did what? Put it in this one. Elwin, what? Elwin. Elwin. Bess Elwin. So now my pocket's like this on one side, but I keep walking. It's all right. And sooner or later, the Lord works it out. So I've got to work out the doubts. But when I do, it builds my faith. Remember, if you had no doubts, you wouldn't have to drill deep. You wouldn't have to unpack anything. You wouldn't ask any questions. You'd be shallow and broad. But if you understand that honest doubts seek answers, and you hit your knees, you ask for advice, you pray, God works it out, my faith is deeper. And that's the beginning of what the Bible calls mountain-moving faith. That's the kind of faith. It's not an easy faith, but that's the kind of faith that moves mountains. That's what it says here in the book of Mark. Let's read it together. Would you go? Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Would you underline, does not doubt in his heart? You know what that means in the Greek? You have the responsibility to work out the doubts in your own heart. Don't let them sit. Don't surrender to them. Because if you do, it will toxify and it'll become unbelief. So when they come into my heart, I keep following God. And I watch for this, and He pulls it out, and I work it out. I work out my salvation. I work it out. And my faith gets deeper and deeper, and it's a faith that came with a cost. Work it out. And God says, now you've got a tensile strength to your faith that'll move mountains. Don't let doubt sit. Work them out. That's what He's saying. You have a responsibility to work out the doubts in your own heart. Don't let them sit there. Because when you do, it turns into a faith that moves mountains. It's a faith that God's looking for in every single one of us. That's the kind of faith. If you had no doubts and everything were handwritten on the wall and God just told you everything and you had no doubts because everything was guaranteed, you wouldn't have a very strong faith. Sometimes God holds things in a certain way to build something deeper in you that you need to build in order to move the mountains that are coming ahead. I want to show you an example of how that happens. Okay, watch me carefully, everybody. Are you ready? Watch this. Okay. I have something in my hand. I do. This is not a trick thing, all right? I have something in my hand. Now, I want you to venture to guess, what is it? Just venture. What is it? Yeah, it's a coin. It is. In fact, I'll tell you what kind of coin it is. It is a quarter, 25-cent piece, all right? Now, have you seen it yet? But I do. It's not a trick question. I actually have a quarter in my hand, all right? All right. Now, how many of you believe that I have a quarter in my hand? Raise your hand. Okay, there's doubts here that we're having to work through. This, let me say it again. It is not a trick question. All right? Now, some of you say, well, my opinion is he might have... No. No. Opinion does not give you faith. All right? Okay. Your faith is not based on opinion. Now, you haven't seen it yet, but I promise you with all my heart, I do have a quarter. It is a 2000 Virginia quarter. Okay? All right. Now, I do have a quarter in this hand. I promise you. Okay. Now, have you seen it yet? But how many of you believe I have a quarter in my hand? Some of you are still struggling with doubts. Now, let's work out your doubts with fear and trembling. Okay. All right. No, I promise you, I got it. All right. How many of you believe, come on, how many of you believe I have a quarter? Raise your hand. I do have a quarter. All right. Okay. But have you seen it yet? No. All right. You, however, have faith that I have a quarter, which I do. Now, I can feel it. You're still struggling with doubts. But I do. Now, you haven't seen it, yet you still believe. Do you believe because you saw the quarter? No. You believe because you believe in what I promised you. It's based on my integrity that I say, I promise I have a quarter. You don't see it, but you believe the one who said he has. That is faith. For some reason, God has chosen to reveal himself through faith, not by sight. Through faith. Remember Thomas? He said, Thomas, you believe because you saw and you felt. But how much more blessed are those who've never yet seen but still believe? Remember the centurion that came to Jesus? My son is sick. I'll go to your house. Oh, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word. Just tell me and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, you're just going to go based on what I said? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus said, I have not seen this great faith in all of Israel. Listen, people, for some reason, God has chosen to reveal himself through faith, not sight. Now, will you have a few doubts? Yeah. Today, there's many doubts. But you still believe. Yeah. Okay. I am about to destroy your faith. Check it out. Is that a quarter? Check it out. Is that a quarter?
Absolutely.
All right. Give me my quarterback. He was about to pocket this thing. But this is a real quarter, just like I said, Virginia 2000. Now you say, well, why did you say I just going to destroy my faith? Because it's no longer faith. It is knowledge. It is sight. Because you see it now. You hear it. You touched it. So it's no longer faith. It's knowledge. Now there's going to be a day when God changes your faith to sight. Your faith shall become sight. Your faith will become full, empirical, guaranteed knowledge because you touch it. But if we think that faith is only full, guaranteed knowledge of God, you got a wrong definition of faith. Faith is hearing God say, I promise, and that's good enough for you. For some reason, God has chosen to reveal himself through faith, not by sight. He says the wisdom of the world will never uncover the depths of God. He is only known by faith. And it's not because you see, it's because you believe the one who said it is true. Will it have a few doubts? Yeah. But you work out your doubts. It'll deepen your faith. It'll increase your love. And one day we will see that everything you believe is true. It's not doubts that disqualify you. It's unbelief. And when you understand that, you'll work out your doubts. It'll deepen your faith. And it will increase your love for the one who is true. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. So you see that faith is not the absence of doubts, it's pressing forward in spite of them. And I say to people, when doubts knock at your door, let your faith answer it, and there'll be nobody there. Some of you are here because God brought you here so that He can remind you to put your trust back in God. You've had it on people, and it's frustrated you. You're struggling to the point where you're struggling with your faith. Because see, doubt can turn into unbelief if you don't work it out correctly. But if you do, it'll deepen your faith. And the first step, put your trust back in God, not in man, for man is mortal. You agape people, trust God. For years, I agape God and trusted people. No. If they're trustworthy, icing on the cake. But don't put your future on that. Put your future on the Lord. And then you can love people, walk with them. And when they fail, you still love them through it. See? That's called koinonia. But you flip that around, you're going to have fractures in the body of Christ. Again and again and again. Then you're going to have doubts. It's okay. Even if you don't see, trust in the one who promises you. And when you do, God will reveal himself to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful church. We ask your blessing on every single one here. That we'll be a people who you would come to and say, I have not seen this great of faith. Because we understand that he who spoke is true. Your words are from everlasting to everlasting. We trust you. Even though sometimes we can't see, we trust you. Thank you for that. And that will help us to deal with our doubts, turn them into a deeper faith and a greater love for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Dealing with Doubts by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.